optometrist, humanitarian, author, friends and family. We're live with the one and only Dr. Wanella Patriot Peters. Tune in. Let's make the magic happen, baby.
This is a Defocus Media production. What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, resident optometry nerd.
And welcome to Defocus Media, optometry's number one podcast, where we discuss the hottest topics, latest technology, eyewear, practice management, and more. So sit back, relax, and defocus.
What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover. Happy Monday. Super excited today. I truly do have family on the podcast today. Now, I know I call a lot of people family, but this is damn near like blood family to me because we go way back. Our parents actually knew each other many, many moons abroad in Monrovia, Liberia. So today it's a pleasure. It's an honor to truly have my family on. Dr. Wanella Patriot Peters, how are you doing today, my friend?
Hi, family. You're like my little brother. I remember when you were little.
Now, don't go out here exposing me and putting me on the spot, because when I was a little kid to where I'm at now, it's night and day. I got some stories out there, you heard? But hey, I'm super excited to have you on the show today. And, you know, I've known you for most of my life, and it's great to number one, have, you know, family that is into the same thing that I'm into. You know, I can call you and we can talk shop. But number two, I'm just super excited about everything that you've done in eye care. And I'm super excited to share your journey in eye care, because you have done pretty much anything that any optometrist can think of, right? And today is the day that I want to share your story. Now, I want to talk about, you know, how you got started in the industry. I want to talk about your nonprofit. But most importantly, I want to talk about this book, Game Changer. You see, I got above my head as well. I read through this book and it just blew my mind. The ease of reading this book, the pictures, how vivid it was, the journey through the entire book of going through the eye and making a kid feel at peace. It's just mind blowing. So we're really going to have to dive deep into this. But before we get into this, let's learn a little bit more about you. If you don't mind maybe sharing your story, you know, where you're from, how you got into eye care, your why, where you went to school, all that jazz. Let's hear from you, my friend.
Well, I was born in Monrovia, Liberia, and we moved to the U.S. in 1987, beginning of 1987. I was 10 years old when we moved, and grew up in Raleigh, North Carolina. And actually, during our journey there, we ended up living in the same place that Daryl and his family lived in, same area, same neighborhood, actually. But Daryl's uncle is my godfather, may he rest in peace. Daryl's family and my family, when I say like not even friends, like real family, you know,
yeah,
is my father's and his uncle, best friends. They weren't even best friends, like brothers, you know.
Yes.
I mean, like brothers. They were little and grew up together from the time they were little boys. So, and that continued on into their adult life. And his first cousins and I are very close. And I mean, just like that. So I went to undergrad at St. Augustine's College, HBCU Pride, and optometry school at Nova Southeastern University College of Optometry. And I practiced in Georgia. I started my nonprofit organization because Nova does nonprofit work also. We, the NOSA organization there, we do mission trips to Jamaica every year with the medical program, the dental program, the nursing program. We go to Jamaica, Kingston, and St. Mary. We see patients. So I got into the nonprofit, you know, part of it because of that. And I started my own nonprofit organization with Dr. Smith Blanc, where we go and see patients, not just in Liberia, but in Haiti, We work with our organization in Nigeria too, where we donate glasses there too, and we donate glasses to organizations here in the U.S., in Florida, and in Georgia too. So that started my nonprofit thing because of the fact that we would do nonprofit work in Florida with NOVA. And then I started, when I got into a car accident in 2015, and I was sitting at home because I had to be out of work for 2 years, I came up with the idea of the book. So the book, actually, I had this idea since 2015, and the book was written in my head for 7 years. And I just, wow. Because I'm not a writer, right? You know, so a lot of times when we have the science mind, we're not writers.
Very true.
Yeah, I couldn't take it from my brain to, but I had this idea for the book and I couldn't write it on paper, but it was written in my head from beginning to end. And I couldn't even figure out how to do the, you know, the conversations between the kids and all those different things. But I had the whole idea written in my head. And finally, I finally decided, you know what? I can't keep holding on to this idea. I need to write it down. And with the help of other people that were writers, this young girl actually that I know, her mom told me, oh, she's a writer. And so she came over and helped me put this idea down on paper. And I was finally able to complete it. But this book has been written in my head for 7 years. And according to Dr. Blanc, 10 years, but it hasn't been 10 years. It's been 7 years.
And shout out to Dr. Blanc. He does amazing things. I know he's always partnering with you on different initiatives and projects and just a solid guy and always doing a lot in the industry, a lot of behind the scenes things, but just really a game changer as well. Now, I want to dive a little more into this book, right? And I kind of want to walk through the process. I know you said that you're not a writer. I know you said that it took you a long time to sit down and make that commitment, but what really clicked in your head, right? What made you say, I need to write this book? Because there's someone out there that looks just like you that's going through the same thing and they're thinking about making that jump, but it hasn't clicked yet, right? They haven't got the courage yet. So what was it truly inside of you that just said, you know what, let me reach out to someone, let me make this happen? You know, even if someone reached out to you, I know you said a writer said something, but there was something inside of you that just was like, this is the time to make it happen.
Well, I kept seeing patients with amblyopia.
Okay.
And that's what finally did it for me. Like, literally, that's what it was. I kept seeing a lot of patients with amblyopia. And after, I think, my final patient, I was like, you know what? We need to educate the public about kids coming in earlier. And because they're being missed.
Absolutely.
And I don't think, unfortunately, we're doing a good job as optometrists in educating the public. And that's what this book is about. The book is about me trying to reach out to the public and getting parents in to get these kids in as soon as possible. Because a lot of times, this is what I'm getting from these parents. Well, he never complained or she never complained.
Yep.
Or, well, the pediatrician didn't tell me that they needed to be seen. So these kids are being missed. And by the time they get to us, they have lazy eye, aka amblyopia.
Right, right.
You know, where they're having to be patched or, you know, they're having to go through vision therapy and all those different things. So I want to make it where these kids are more comfortable or the parents are more comfortable in bringing their children in a lot earlier than bringing them in at 10 years old, where they're already having those lazy eyes, you know, and understanding that at 3 years old, they need to go see a pediatric optometrist already. So that's one of the reasons why I decided to finally write this book.
Nice. Now, what I'd like to go into next is really, you know, let's talk about who was your muse when you wrote this book, number one. And then number two, I'd like to kind of walk through the journey with you, if you don't mind, just, you know, telling all our eye care professionals about the journey of the protagonist that's in this book. That way they can get a good understanding, a vivid understanding of what you've created here. Because I feel like this is a book that we should actually, you know, partner with our pediatricians to have in their office. This is a book that optometrists should keep in their office. And this is a book that, I'll be upfront with you, I love the diversity that's in this book. You know, Black and brown faces will see this book and they will see themselves. Representation does matter. And awareness matters. I didn't get my first eye exam until I was in college. And the only reason why I got it was because my mom was like, I'm paying for this insurance. Take your butt to the eye doctor and get examined, right? But if she would have never said anything, you may not see the guy that you see sitting here in front of you today. But that exposure gave me the thought of jumping into this world of optometry. So again, if we could maybe circle back to the muse of the book and kind of walk us through the journey, the chapters of this book as well, because it's fantastic.
I will tell you, I didn't get my first eye exam also until I was in undergrad too. And that was because my dad got me the job at in optometry school. At the optometrist's office at the Lens Crafters at North Hills Mall. I worked at North Hills Mall, and you know, that was my first eye exam, and I was one of those that could have been missed because you know, the good thing is I have 20/20 vision until today, but I could have been missed.
Yeah,
my parents didn't think, and my dad wears glasses, but they think that, you know, go get your child's eyes examined, you know. So, and yeah, but my muse is actually Bella is Smith's daughter, Bellamy. That's Smith's daughter.
And that was the gentleman, the optometrist that we brought up earlier, that's typically a partner in crime that helps you with your nonprofit and different projects and initiatives that you have going on throughout the world, right?
Yeah, Smith is my best friend, one of my best friends. He is. So Bellamy, I'm very close to little Bellamy, and I just loved her name. And so when I was thinking about names, and so even though the idea of the book was started way before she was born, when I was thinking about names for the character, I was like, oh my gosh, I love Bellamy. So I asked Smith and his wife, I was like, could I use her name? And they said, sure. So every name in the book actually means something to me. All the characters mean something to me. So Bella is Smith's daughter. Carson is my nephew. That's my sister's son. Chase is my significant other's son. Maria is one of my classmates. That's her name from optometry school. And Lily is my nail technician.
Well, you know, my feelings is hurt because I didn't make the book. There was no one in there by the name of Daryl. So you're going to have to do a part two, and I need to be a part of part two. That's all I'm calling you out.
Yeah, so literally I named after people that I knew because, you know, I just wanted it to feel like, you know, I knew these people personally. I didn't want to pick random names, you know, so I was like, I want people that I know, you know, so, and I wanted easy names too, because I'm like, these are kids. I wanted, you know, names that they could just say and not names that were difficult. So I was like, okay, let me just pick little cute names and stuff like that. But I wanted names that I, you know.
Yeah. And you know, that's, and I want to call something out right now, because the thing that I love about this book and I love about you in general is that you're very intentional with everything that you do. You put thought behind everything that you do, right? You didn't just throw a book out and say, hey, go buy it. Every piece of this story, every piece of this journey, every part of this book is intentional. And that intentionality is what motivates people. I mean, we have someone on right now and they're talking about the motivation. This is motivation for me to get my book out by the end of the year. Keep inspiring, right? And it's clearly reflected whenever you speak, whenever you walk in a room with whatever projects or initiatives that you put your mind to. You really think it thoroughly through. So I just want to say thank you so much for that. But let's get back to the magic sauce and talk about this journey now.
Well, also, I didn't want to just do a book about an eye exam. I love the fantasy world. Since I was young, I've always been into sci-fi. I've always been into fantasy. I'm a reader. So I may not be a writer per se, but I'm a reader. I used to read a lot of books, like over the course of a year, I would read like almost 50 books, right? When I was younger, I used to read a lot. You know, I don't read as much anymore with work and all this different things, but I used to read a lot, right? And I used to read a lot of sci-fi books. And even now, I don't read as much, but I watch a lot of sci-fi movies. Like, I'm into stuff like The Witcher. I'm into stuff like Foundation, those type of shows, right? That's the stuff I'm into, right? And so that's the reason why Bella goes on the journey, if you notice, right? There's a journey where there's, you know, there's a dragon and different things like that. That's why the book is the way it is, because I love fantasy. So it couldn't be just a regular, she goes and get an eye exam. Nah, not me, because I'm not a regular. It had to be something that was more intricate than that. So that's right. The reason why the book is the way it is, because of the fact that my mind works in the type of way it is with all the fantasy. I love like Indiana Jones type of things like that. I like journeys and different things like that, and you know, monsters and all this different things. So I literally did research on what type of animals kids love, and you know, yeah, I literally did research on those type of things. Like kids like dinosaurs, kids love dragons, kids love, you know, before I started writing the book. That's, you know, I went through all of that before I put the book together. And dragons, that was the number one thing that kids still love to this day. And I was so happy because I love dragons. I was like, what? Kids still love dragons. I love dragons. You know, it was so nice to see that because I grew up in the 80s and I love dragons. So I was kids are so into dragons.
Yeah. And the story is nice. I mean, there's two things that I noticed throughout the book. Number one, there was the education, right? Because the journey is really educating the child or the children about the different structures of the eye, right? Yeah. I mean, you take it from the front surface all the way to the back of the eye, and you explain in layman's terms, in kids' terms, you know, what each one of those structures do, what their job is in regards to keeping the eye afloat, right? And then you also break down at the end, you know, the eye exam, right? That kid gets that eye exam and they talk about how happy they are to see, even though they're a little nervous. So I love that you hit the education about what the eye is and how it works and how it operates. But most importantly, you gave the journey of the kid so that they know that they too should get an eye exam and that they will be okay. And there's nothing to worry about as well. So it's just fantastically written. Again, very intentional, down to finding, you know, what kids love, but also educating, but then walking them through their own journey in regards to getting the eye exam as well.
Yes, definitely. Because that's the most important part, right? Like, I have to bring it all together because they have to understand that getting an eye exam is not the monster. Getting the drops in the eyes, because I cycloplege every child under 10 years old that come to get the eyes examined. But, you know, getting the drops in the eyes, that's not the monster. I want them to make sure that they understand that when they come in. And, you know, when kids come in, they get so scared. That's the most scary part for them. So I made sure I put that in the book. I made sure I added that to the book about the drops. If you notice that, that's in there. Definitely, I put that in there so they know that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, we've touched a lot on this book, and for those that want to, you know, purchase Bella's First Eye Exam: A Journey Through the Eye, you know, how do they go about making that magic happen? Where do they go?
It's on Amazon, and for now, I am working on getting it in different bookstores, Barnes and Nobles. But right now, it's on Amazon. I'm actually working on getting it on local bookstores, and I'm partnering with different pediatrics, you know, associations and different things like that But right now it is on Amazon. You can go on Amazon and you can buy the book there.
I love it. I love it. And, you know, while I have you on the chat, on the call, on this live stream, you know, it wouldn't be right if I didn't ask you for advice. As you mentioned, you are a little more seasoned than me. You know me since I was a little baby, right? And I know you're full of wisdom. So if you could give your, you know, younger self some advice, what would it be?
I would tell you, if you have an idea, jump on it as soon as possible. Do not wait. Like I said, it took me 7 years, and I do regret not. And you've already done this, because I've watched you and I admire you, and I've admired what you've done. You have, and that's because you are a millennial. I'm Gen X.
I'm a seasoned millennial.
You know, you're a millennial and I'm Gen X. And I think Gen X, we're a little bit more cautious in acting. You know, we're like, oh, maybe we shouldn't jump and on, you know, and we, but you guys are a lot more, you know, when it comes to doing things, you guys just jump. Right. So I admire you guys when you guys do things like that. And I would say that you're already doing it. And I wish that I had done a lot more things earlier. I wish I had been an entrepreneur. There's nothing wrong. And I'm glad that, of course, I had with the school and everything, but I wish I had done both at the same time, like been an entrepreneur and, you know, done my school work and all that, but both at the same time. I wish I had, you know. So that would be my advice to anyone. Just jump. If you have an idea, jump and do whatever you want to do, at, you know, and don't hold on to it.
I love it. And I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the show today. It means the world to me, you know, for us to actually go together and go live and share your story, and for me to be the one to help you share that story. It means the world to me. And I just want you to continue, you know, being a voice for iCare, being an ambassador for iCare. And you got to promise me, put my name in that book next time. Part two, I'm looking for it. All right.
You know what? I promise you. No, I will, because I've been told already that I have to do a part two.
Yeah, you have to. You have to. I mean, the way you wrote that book, it was great. It ended well, but it was almost like one of those movies. You're like, I want more, right? So please do. I can't wait to sit down with my son and read this. I purchased 3 different copies: one for my son, one for my daughter, and one for my niece as well. So I can't wait to give it to them to let them read, or read it with them and build from there. But again, thank you so much for being on the show. For everyone out there, make sure you go pick up that book. Go to Amazon and just look up Bella's First Eye Exam, A Journey Through the Eye. When we launch this and it goes live on our platform, you'll have the link there so you can click that and go. But thanks again for being on the show, Dr. Peters. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover. Stay healthy, stay positive, stay blessed, and go purchase that book. Until next time.
And it's a wrap. Thank you dearly for hanging out with the Defocus Media team. We hope truly something resonated with you. And if it did, be sure to give us 5 stars. And make sure you follow us on all social media platforms. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, you named it. And our handle is at Defocus Media on all platforms. And until next time, be sure to keep it 2020. And we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.